I bring the message that you've given to me, Lord. I pray that you'd speak into our lives. Help us to understand your word and help us to apply it to our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, morning, everyone. It's great to be here again with you at the start of a new decade. It's weird, isn't it, to think that it's gone so quick. Am I getting older or something? Is that what that's all about? Life is going very quickly these days. Another decade. Can't believe that we're in 2020. And as we look to this decade, God wants to do some amazing things, I believe, in the coming years and in this up-and-coming year. And sometimes we can, as I said before, we can look backwards. We can look at the past. But we can't look at the past to see what the future is going to be like. God has got something new planned for each one of us. And I believe right at the start of this year, he wants us to be courageous and to be in faith for new things, for new expressions of God's power, of God's love, and to see more salvations, to see more healings, to see more people knowing God's provision in their lives. So that's what we're looking to, I believe, in the coming year. And I was seeking God for a word for us for this morning, and I believe he gave me a promise, and it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. So if you'd like to turn to that, please. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it's we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 10 to get the context. The verse that he really highlighted to me is this verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's got some good stuff for us to walk in, and he's prepared it beforehand. But I just want to read from verse 1 onwards down to that verse. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're going to unpick verse 10, and see how it applies to us right at the start of this year. The first thing I want to say about this verse is that it says we are his workmanship. You know, sometimes we can be sort of smug about the things we've achieved in this life, and we think, yeah, I did it all myself without any help from anybody else. But the fact is, right at the start of this year, we have to thank God for his grace to us. It's all about him and what he's done in our lives. If it wasn't for him, we would not be here now. Not one of us, because it's all of his grace, all of his mercy. At this time, many people are making New Year's resolutions, and they're trying their best to fulfill them, and many people are failing and then feeling guilty because they failed their New Year's resolutions. I would just want to read a couple of New Year's resolutions that were put on Twitter, funny ones. The official dude at Inc. 184 said this on his status, hashtag New Year's resolution, increase my relationship status from forever alone to slightly desperate. I thought that was funny. John Barnes at Flukes John wrote on his Twitter status, hashtag New Year's resolution. This is an older one. In December 2015, I felt calm like the Buddha. In December 2016, I just have the same BMI as the Buddha. That's a body mass index. Dana at Sunkist said this once on a Twitter feed. My 2017 resolution, not to go to the gym on days ending in Y. Colin Quinn at I Am Colin Quinn said this on his New Year's resolution. This year I'm going to incorporate I don't roll that way into at least one conversation a week. That'd be fun. Another guy, 1995 at DCA, said this. My 2017 resolution, to keep away from toxic people. Wait, I'm the one who's toxic. And then lastly, Firelake DJ at Firelake DJ said this. Never again will I take sleeping pills and laxatives on the same night. Hashtag New Year's resolution I will keep. Well, as we start 2020, maybe we're thinking about making some New Year's resolutions, but maybe we're feeling guilty because we know we've already broken some. And I think it's really important right at the start of a year to have that foundation of God's grace in our lives. Because without God's grace, we're all lost. And we all fail and we all mess up. That's the whole reason why Jesus had to come in the first place. And we've got a place we can come to. It's the cross. When we do mess up, when we do know what we've done stuff we shouldn't have done, we can come before the cross of Christ. He is there. He is our foundation. And it's all about his grace. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. And in the Greek sentence, it actually starts with the word auto, which means his. That means it's placing the emphasis on the word his. We are his workmanship. As Yoda would say, it's done in this way. His workmanship are we. That's literally how it says it in the Greek. So the emphasis is on him, not on us. We are his. His workmanship are we. Without him, we're lost. We're in darkness. We're separated from him by our sin. We're under wrath and under judgment. We might think that we're not too bad, but that's what this passage says, and it's applicable to every person on this earth. Paul says in this passage that even the faith that someone has to trust in Jesus, to become a Christian, even that faith that they think that they had in the first place, or I've got faith, even that faith is a gift. So even the very belief that we've put in Jesus today, even that belief has been given to us graciously by God. We are completely dependent upon his grace, and it's good to know that at the start of a year. Sometimes people deceive themselves and they think they're not so bad, but here it makes it clear that we are all without God. Chapter 2, verse 3 says, we are by nature, or were by nature, children of wrath. In other words, we made God angry by what we did. 2 verse 5 says, dead in trespasses, spiritually dead. A dead person can't save themselves. They're dead. It takes an alive person to raise them from the dead, someone like Jesus. And then 2 verse 19 says that we were strangers and foreigners to God. Paul says in another one of his letters in the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 6 onwards, he says this. And I'm going to read this from the easy-to-read version. I only just found it the other day, the ERV, written in 2006. Check it out if you want a version that's easy to understand. I'd recommend the easy-to-read version. Have a listen to this. Christ died for us when we were unable to help ourselves. We were living against God, but at just the right time, Christ died for us. Very few people will die to save the life of someone else, even if it is for a good person. Someone might be willing to die for an especially good person, but Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And by this, God showed how much he loves us. We have been made right with God by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So through Christ, we will surely be saved from God's anger. I mean that while we were God's enemies, he made friends with us through his son's death. And the fact that we are now friends with God makes it even more certain that he will save us through his son's life. And not only will we be saved, but we also rejoice right now in what God has done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of Jesus that we are now God's friends. I thought that's a wonderful way of putting it in a simple, easy to understand way, that while we were God's enemies, he died for us. That's got to be grace, isn't it, really? That someone would be willing to lay down their life for an enemy. And Jesus did it while we were his enemies because of our sin. He loved us that much to die for us. If he's willing to do that when we're against God and walking in the opposite direction of God, how much more is he going to stay on our side when we're reconciled to him, which we are now? So let's remember that this coming year. Let's hold on to the grace of God. And let's remember his generosity to each one of us. Paul also says here that it was the same power that rose Jesus from the dead that was needed to spiritually raise us from the dead. When you think about it, our salvation is a miracle. It's a resurrection miracle. That's what it took for us to become Christians. We really are his workmanship. As we look back in our past, this last year, 2019, or maybe earlier in our lives, there might be regrets. There might be some things that, you know, are coming into your mind right now, even as I'm saying this. You're thinking, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Or maybe you might be thinking, I wish I had done that. I'm sure for each one of us, we didn't have to work too hard for some regrets to start to surface. And for some people, those regrets can end up crippling them, can end up immobilizing them, and stopping them from moving on with God and really entering into everything that God has got for them. We've got a choice, really, when you think about it. We can either hold on to regret or we can hold on to grace. Grace is the cure for regret. Grace triumphs over regret. When you think about people in the Bible, you think about the guy that was on the cross, the thief that was crucified with Christ. He'd lived his whole life without Jesus. He only turned to Jesus right at the last moments of his life. But how wonderful that was. And that triumphed all the regret of what had gone before. Those words of Jesus, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. The goodness of God is so good. It's able to lift us from that place of feeling regret to actually that place of, no, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be brave and trust God with the future. Think about Peter denying Christ 3 times. Think about the regret that would bring into someone's life. He felt like a complete and utter failure. And yet Jesus, chatting to him, getting him right again, saying, you know, I still want you to do what I've called you to do. He had a choice to make. Either he stays in regret or he gets up and he holds on to grace. It was the grace, the kindness of Christ that changed him. And right at the start of this year, that's going to be the thing that's going to change us, is knowing the kindness of Christ. That there is a new day ahead of each one of us. It doesn't need to be like the past, and it doesn't need to be full of regret if we have regrets. So let's bring any regrets that we have before the Lord this morning, and let's bring it under the blood, and let's decide to be hopeful for the future and to trust God for a bright future. We are his workmanship. The word for workmanship here is poiema, which means something that has been created, made, or produced. Paul is really basically saying that we are a new creation in Christ. You're a new person. The old has gone, the new has come. And that's why we don't need to live in regret, because God has made things new. The theologian F.F. Bruce, in his commentary on Ephesians, said this about the term workmanship, that it means a work of art, a masterpiece. That's his interpretation of what that word means, but I love that interpretation. It's great, isn't it? That we are God's masterpiece. That's the result of grace. He turns us from maybe the painting of Dorian Gray Remember that, the painting of Dorian Gray looked ugly and started to, it was full of sin and it started to go all horrible. He's turned us from that into a beautiful, beautiful masterpiece painting. Now, when you think about yourself this morning, think about who you are. Do you consider yourself to be a masterpiece this morning? I wonder. For some of us, we might be thinking, oh, I feel ugly, I feel dirty, I feel unclean, I feel unworthy, I feel like a failure, I feel worthless. You know, God wants to take all of those feelings and replace them with that knowledge that we are loved so much by Jesus and by God the Father, and that we truly are his work of grace, his masterpiece. He gave his all for us. He laid down his life for us. He considers us worth dying for. We were worthy. You know, we weren't worthy in and of ourselves because we didn't deserve it, but actually he thought we were worth doing, worth dying for in his eyes because we're so precious in his sight. And I think it's really important right at the start of this year to see ourselves as precious in his eyes. How is your mental health this morning? You know, people are struggling all over the world today in these dark days with bad self-esteem, low self-worth, with mental health struggles. And God wants to release us from that. You know, right at the start of this year, it's a time to think about God's grace and his goodness to us. And not to be down on ourselves and to be beating ourselves up and to be hating ourselves, but to be instead appreciating his love for us and accepting that love for us and having a good self-image, a good self-worth. Something that God really wants to address in our lives and the lives of those around us, because there's such a great need for it in these dark days. Grace overcomes these things when we realize the goodness of how much he loves us and all he's done for us. He considers us to be worth it. In Christ, we are accepted, we have belonging, we are truly loved and cherished. What positive things could each one of us do in this coming year to deepen our understanding of God's grace and also to look after the bodies that he's given to us? That means physically looking after our bodies, mentally looking after our bodies, and spiritually looking after these bodies that God has given to us. Right at the start of this year, let's think about that, and let's think how we can see his grace being put into practice in our lives. The second thing that this verse says is that God has prepared good works beforehand for us to walk in. And this is an amazing thing. We don't need to worry about what the future holds because we know that God has prepared stuff for us to walk in, good works. And that's going to be true of each new year, of each new day, that God has prepared stuff each day for us to do, things for us to be used by him in, to bless others and to see his kingdom coming in great power. Many people live their lives without that sense of purpose. They don't know where they're going in life, but God has given us purpose. He's got a plan for each one of us, and he wants us to walk in the things that he's already planned beforehand. We are saved for something. We're saved for good works. We're not saved by good works. My good works could never be good enough to get me to heaven, nor could yours. But we're saved for a purpose, saved for good works. And I'm excited because I know that God's going to do some amazing stuff this coming year through each one of us in various ways. And what this is all about is finding out, what are those good works you've planned for me to do, Lord? Looking at the church, looking at roles within the church, things that need doing. At the minute, we're asking people to get involved because we need people to do stuff within the church. Is there an area that you could volunteer in this coming year? Something that you enjoy doing that could help others? Something that you've got a skill for or a passion for that God could use you in? Come and have a chat to us as leaders, and we can get you on a rota, get you involved, or train you up. Let's use the talents, the gifts that God has given us and put them into practice. That's what this whole epistle, this letter, goes on to say about. Paul goes on to talk about spiritual gifts. We're not all the same. We're all different. We've all got different abilities. Let's use our gifts to serve one another, to serve his kingdom in the coming year. Sometimes in today's entertainment-driven culture, we can have this mindset of church that it's a place we come to where we sit and we listen to something, or we're almost entertained by the worship or something. We become a consumer, don't we? You know, it's so easy to slip into that. We tune into God Channel and watch different things, and we get entertained by things, you know. Church is not about that. Church is about everyone being involved, everyone having a part to play. We've got to move from a consumer mentality into everyone involved, everyone a worker mentality, where what Paul says is that we're all ministers. If you look at chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this: "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And that doesn't just mean a few super apostles. It means each one of us. It says what it says. It is what it is. Each one of you, and me included, we've been given grace by Jesus to do something within the church. And this coming year is finding out about what is that you've called me to do, or what are those things you've called me to do? Where can you make a difference? What can you do to encourage someone else? Not just within the church, but being a light to Jesus in this world. It's been a difficult Christmas for many people, and many people have struggled to get through this last Christmas because of personal griefs and things that they're going through in life. And we have got a hope that the world doesn't even know about. We need to let that light shine to those who are struggling. And God could use each one of us in some ways this coming year to bring people to know the Lord. I really believe that God wants to increase faith for salvations this coming year. You know, sometimes we can start to lose faith. If we're not regularly seeing salvations, we can get out of that habit of sharing the good news or expecting people to even want to hear the good news. The fact is, people are desperate for good news. Whether they know it or not, people in today's society are desperate. We've got the antidote. Let's share it. The early church was in faith for salvations. They had an expectation that God was going to regularly be adding to their number. And we see that in the book of Acts. Daily the Lord was adding to their number, those being saved. Now it may be that there's some people in your family that you're praying for, or friends that you know aren't Christians yet. And we started a few weeks ago, we started praying for someone else. I am Andrew, which is basically, this is a reminder this morning, a plug. Don't forget, if you grab one of these cards, one of these cards is reminding us to pray for someone who doesn't know Christ. Pray for them daily. Get into a habit, a routine of remembering to pray for them. Doesn't matter if you've forgotten to do it. I'm not saying this to condemn us, you know, like a New Year's resolution that you've forgotten to do. But I'm saying it as a reminder. Let's spend time in prayer. And even just the simple thing of spending time in prayer is a step of faith, isn't it? Believing that praying will make a difference. Remember what Tricia said. She prayed for a friend. And she wasn't praying for a friend every day. You know, there's some days that she forgot to pray for the friend. But she did get into a habit, a routine of praying for that friend. And it worked. The friend came to know the Lord. And not just her friend, but the friend's family as well. So let's use that as an encouragement. Prayer does work. Let's believe God for salvations this coming year. And what this is suggesting as well is not just pray for that person, but actually start to spend time with them, get to know them as a real friend, as a real person, get to know their interests, hang out with them, have meals with them, and start to pray for boldness to encourage them either to come to church, or maybe you can invite them to the Franklin Graham mission, which is happening later on in the year. But let's be praying for people, and that's something we can pray for this coming Tuesday as well, to pray for those that God has put on our heart. The other element I think we really need this coming year, and we've spoken about it before, is courage. courage is where it's at, really. Because really, if you're not courageous, you're not going to press on in to actually receive everything that God has planned for the coming year. God has got plans for us, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily will come to pass, because we've got a part to play in it as well. We can choose to step into that which God wants by getting out of the boat, or we can choose to stay in the boat. And God is encouraging us, I believe, to be bold as lions, and to really go for the things that he's calling us to do. The early church asked for boldness, didn't they? In the book of Acts, they prayed for boldness because they were aware that they needed boldness to step into God, what God wanted. They prayed for boldness and they got boldness, and the place where they were praying was shaken as well, and they went out in the power of the Spirit. Paul himself lacked courage at times. Sometimes he was fearful. When he was speaking to the Corinthians, he was shaken with nervousness because he knew he wasn't like an amazing speaker. Maybe like me this morning, I don't know. But we all need courage, don't we, to step into what God has called us to step into. Paul asked for prayer for courage to preach the good news, to preach the gospel. We all need that. In the Bible, we see Esther making a heroic choice, going before the king of Persia, risking her life on behalf of her people for such a time as this. You think of the boldness that took to do that, because she could have been killed asking to see the king, but she did it because the need was great. The need is great today. We're called to this place for such a time as this. And if we're willing to be bold like Esther was, God is going to use us in great ways in the coming year. Think about Deborah, the judge, heroically stepping into Israel's battle against Sisera and his army, prophesying that the victory would go to a woman. And it was. It was Jael who had the courage to defeat Sisera with a tent peg. God wants to defeat some enemies. And by that, I don't mean physical enemies. He wants to defeat some spiritual enemies that are stopping the church from really moving forwards and are stopping people from coming into the fullness of all that God wants. God can use us in boldness to step forwards, to step up to the mark and be used. God is going to be calling women to be like these bold women, to be courageous, to step up, and to follow their role model example of how to be courageous in God in the coming year. Caleb and Joshua, they were sent out as spies. There was 12 spies sent out to spy out the promised land of Israel. All 10 others came back with a negative report saying it can't be done because they were full of unbelief. Only Caleb and Joshua had a positive report, and they had to go against the flow. God is calling men as well as women to be bold and courageous and to go against the flow, even if others aren't standing up in faith, to stand up and say, we've got a great God. He can do it. He can bring about the difference. Let's trust in him. You know, because of their faith, they were kept alive by God during the 40 years of wilderness wanderings. And they were the only two out of those 12 spies who entered the promised land. And they were older, and even though they were older, they still had the get up and go, the fight in them to take the promised land and to take the places that God had given to them. In 2020, will we be men and women of God who will be heroic, who will be bold and courageous? I just want to show a little video. I've got one more point after this, but I just want to show you a two-minute video, which is the Google video for this year. It's some of the common searches, and one of the most common searches was people were searching for real heroes, modern day heroes. So I just want us to be inspired by this, because it inspired me when I saw it. Sorry, it's a little bit of a plug for Google, but I just thought it was quite inspiring, really, that people are looking for heroes. And when you think about that, a hero is really God, isn't it? Because he is our superhero. He's the one who has died in our place, who's brought about salvation. And when people are doing heroic stuff like we've just seen on that video, really, they might not even be a Christian, But they're doing something which is in the image of God, because God is the model of all heroes when you think about it. And I do believe there is a hero inside of each one of us that's trying to get out. Let me out. You can do some amazing heroic things this coming year. God wants to use you to do heroic stuff, to bring people from death to life, to save their lives. I love that. The people who helped that person who was on that ski lift, and they let go and they fell and they had a thing to catch them. When you think about it spiritually, that's what we're doing. We're showing people the way out of their situations. We're showing people salvation and life. And God can use us in this coming year. I'm not going to sing Search for the Hero inside yourself. M people. Search for the hero. Lastly, we are to walk in the good works. So it says in that verse, just to remind you of the verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How are you walking today? What is your walk like? John Stott said in his Bible Speaks Today commentary on Ephesians that walk is a Hebrew idiom or a term of phrase for our manner of life. In other words, how we're living our lives. So Paul is saying we should live our lives in light of the fact that we're Christians, that we're to do good works. The good works that we do are the way that we should be living our lives, that we're known for good works. Do those around you know that you're a person of good works? Let it be seen this coming year. That's what Jesus said, let your good works so shine before men that they give praise to your Father in heaven. This is how we should be living our lives, that we're known as superheroes, that we're known as good people. We know that without God, we're lost. But with God, with his grace, we can do amazing things. And we need to have our faith stretched for this coming year to step into the amazing things that God wants us to do, to be those who really can make a difference through God. It says in chapter 2, verse 2, we formerly walked as the world did. And in chapter 4, verse 7 of Ephesians, it says, we should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, or as the world walks. In chapter 5, verse 8, he says, we should walk as children of the light. So I wonder what pressures there are on us, each one of us, right at the moment, to be walking as the world does. Maybe at work there's pressure on people to walk as the world does. Maybe in the way that the world socializes, it's trying to squeeze us into a mold. Maybe our families, if they don't know the Lord, maybe they're trying to squeeze us into a mold that's actually not walking with the Lord. It can be quite difficult, you know, standing up as a Christian when you're surrounded by those who maybe aren't walking with the Lord. And we need courage in those situations. We need guts to go against the grain and to stand up and be counted. It doesn't mean that we ram the gospel down everyone's throat, and it doesn't mean that we're preaching when we should be working. That's not a good witness. You know, we should work harder, I believe, than those around us, because of God's grace working through us. That's what Paul said. He worked so hard because of God's grace in him, motivating him. So God can give us that ability to be an example in the workplace, but to also not compromise our faith. Do people around us know that we're Christians, or are we hiding that fact? Let's be bold and let's bring out the fact, yeah, I'm a Christian. Let's have conversations with people. The other thing that Paul says, and I'll finish on this, is that we should no longer walk as we used to walk. So I wonder what sort of things we used to be like before we were Christians, what things we struggled with then, and I wonder if we're still struggling today with the same issues. Sometimes Satan can lie to us and he can say, these issues will never change. You'll never change. You'll never get rid of that sin, or you'll never step into that destiny that God's got for you. You'll never be strong enough. We need to tell Satan where to go, and we just start believing that God is greater, and God will empower us by his Spirit to be overcomers We need to be bold and to believe the truth. This year, this coming year, let's believe God to fill us with His Spirit and to do things and to overcome things that we've never done before. Maybe fasting might be a key for some of us to break habits, to spend time seriously praying and seeking God's face. Maybe that's the difference, is that, you know, we've not really delved too much into that area of prayer and fasting, and that could be a key for breaking some spiritual stuff in some lives. You know, Jesus said, this type doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. We know that that there is a link there when we get serious with God in prayer and with fasting as well, that things can be broken. And maybe we've never had the guts to step into what we know God is telling us to do. I'm really believing for an increase of faith and courage for this coming year to do those things. You know, when a father loves his son or his daughter, and or a mother, and they're training their son or their daughter to ride a bike, you know, when they fall off the bike, they don't just laugh at them and just leave them on the floor. They help them up and they say, come on, you can do this, let's get back on the bike. And if you've been trying and struggling as a Christian in some areas and you've fallen, I just want to encourage you to get back up. It's what God the Father would say to you. Get back up, son. Get back up, daughter. Believe in me again. Doesn't matter if you failed a million times in the past. Get back up. Keep trusting in God's grace and goodness. And keep calling on His name. He will come and He will empower us, because He's given us everything we need to follow Him and to live the life that He's called us to. Let's stand, shall we? And we're going to pray for this coming year and dedicate ourselves to Him as His workmanship. If you'd rather sit, that's fine. But let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we want to thank You for Your promises from Your word. Thank You that You have prepared good works for us to walk in this coming year. Lord, we pray that right at the start of this year, we would realize Your grace in our lives, that we would have that as a foundation. And Lord, as we're seeking Your face day by day, would You reveal the areas that You want us to be involved in? Would You show us those around who are in difficult situations that need a touch from You, that need Your truth? And Lord, we pray for boldness, for faith to rise up amongst us, and for courage to step into all the things You've called us to. We pray against depression. We pray against anxiety. We pray against negative self-image. We pray, Lord, that we'd start to see ourselves as You see us, as beautiful and as precious in Your sight. Lord, we're the apple of Your eye. Lord, help us to know that. Help us to walk in that and that assurance. Lord, we pray for those around us, Lord, that You would do something new, Lord. We pray for salvations for those who we've maybe been praying for years and we've not yet seen the breakthrough. Lord, would You come in breakthrough power this coming year in friends, family, Lord, those around us. Lord, would You do something new? And Lord, would You grow us as church? Lord, grow us in terms of our abilities, in terms of our depth of love, but also in numbers as well, Lord. Would You do something amazing this coming year, again and again and again, and raise us up, Lord. Lord, we pray for heroes to rise up, heroes of faith, to rise up within Your church, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said, amen. We're going to finish by singing, Our God is Greater, Our God is Stronger. And it's a declaration of our trust in Jesus and His power for the coming year.